Welcome to MPC's podcast, where we share our Sunday sermons with you, exploring how God's word is applicable to our everyday life.
So we're looking at Romans chapter 1, and there was one thing that I just felt struck out to me throughout this meeting, and that was this view of fresh impartation. Fresh impartation. I sense that God wants to bring a fresh impartation to us as a church and moving forward in the season that God has for us. You know, a number of years ago when I was working as a school teacher, I used to do a little experiment, and the experiment was called the penguins experiment, okay? And what it involved getting a test tube, filling the test tube with warm water, and the test tube represented a penguin, and you put the test tube in a beaker of cold water, so you measure the penguin in the cold Antarctic environment, and then you measure the temperature every minute for so many minutes, and you measure how quickly the test tube loses heat. And in the same way, you do the same thing again, but this time you get a huddle of test tubes, bind them together, all fill them with hot water. So you're imagining the huddle of test tubes represents a huddle of penguins all huddling together, and you measure the temperature. And of course, the test tubes that were huddled together stayed warmer longer than the test tube that was just on its own. And the same way, we see those images, don't we, in the Arctic, of the penguins. They like to get together, they huddle together because heat is being imparted from one penguin to another. It's been transferred from one penguin to another, and one penguin receives the heat from another penguin. And therefore, it brings a strength and a warmth and an encouragement to each other. And I don't believe there's any more nobler task in life than to bring strength and encouragement to the people around you. It's good to bring strength and encouragement to each other, isn't it? Now, and just as these penguins, they impart heat to each other, we can impart what God has done in our lives to each other. We can impart something of God's grace into the lives of each other. And let's be honest, encouragement today is in short supply, isn't it? There's a lot in this world that can get you discouraged. I mean, let's not even bother putting on the news, okay? They shouldn't call it news. They just call it bad news, shouldn't they, really? Because when you watch the news, there's a lot in this world that just seems to pull us down, discourage us. You know, people just undermine our faith and the Christian message. And hey, I told you last week about that veteran on the Breakfast TV sharing his faith on Breakfast TV. That was amazing. That was encouraging. But a lot of things we see in the world today, aren't they? They're very discouraging. And that's why I believe that one of the most damaging things that we could do in our lives is to isolate ourselves. God never intended us to live our lives as islands, but he intended us to live interconnected, encouraging each other. So imagine for a moment a church that actively encourages each other. That'd be a good church to be part of, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being part of a church like that? Do you think that would be a healthy church? Oh, I do. I certainly do. I would say that would be a healthy church, and that would be the sort of church that people would want to come along to. So again, we're continuing this series on exclusive inclusivity. We've looked at the importance of living this life, that we make Jesus the Lord of our life. We've seen that we need to build inclusiveness. We need to discern God's path of life. We looked at the importance of prayer. But to this morning, we're looking at the importance of encouragement. So in Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 11 to 12. And this is what Paul says. He says in verses 11 and 12, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." There we go. That's the verse for this morning. I'll have a little bit more water here. Help this mouth of mine. "I long to see you," Paul says, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong." Isn't that good words? To make you strong. "That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each others' faith. Paul wanted to impart a gift of grace and encourage these believers in Rome. And we all have gifts of grace, all of us here, that we can impart into the lives of those around us. Now, that word spiritual gift, it's actually the Greek word charismata. Has anyone ever heard of that word, charismata? It's from the Greek word charismata, we get the word charismatic. And you know what? A charismata is a gift of God's grace. That's what a charismata is. It's a gift of God's grace. And it's a gift of God's grace that God gives us so that we can impart into each other, encourage each other. And I believe it is God's wholehearted desire that we are a charismatic church through and through. I believe that's what God wants. We have some encouraging words of prophetic words this morning. And there was some broad encouragement to the life of this church. But I pray that we will continue to be a charismatic church through and through. It's not just gifts of proclamation. There are other gifts of grace that God gives the church as well. All of us here have a charismata, have a gift of God's grace to strengthen and encourage people around you. Let me give you some examples. Later in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, Paul lists some of these gifts. He says, we all have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Are you good at encouraging people? I know there's some people in this room who are just natural encouragers. I just like hanging around with them because they just encourage me. It's always good. And we like to be with encouraging people, don't we? You know, are you, maybe you just have the ability of getting things done. Yes, you have that ability to lead and to mobilize and get things done. Maybe you have the ability to create resource and fund the work of the kingdom. Maybe you have this amazing capacity to get alongside people who are hurting and broken, and you can put your arm around them, you can administer God's grace into their situation. Maybe you're a great hands-on, practical person, and you see something that needs to be done, you don't need to be asked, you just get on and do it. Maybe you have the ability to take the truths of God, the spiritual truths of God, and explain them in a way that people can understand. You see, we all have, I believe, a charismata. We all have a gift of grace. And Paul, and part of that, to strengthen the faith of his hearers, so you also are to impart your gift of grace, strengthen the faith of others. Again, we've got another list of some gifts as well. These are sometimes referred to as the gifts of the Spirit. Paul refers to these in 1 Corinthians 14. He says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means, notice this, of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Notice that word gifts is in the plural. It's not just a gift of healing, it's gifts of healing. That's why I believe that God can give a grace, a gift of healing for certain conditions. Gifts of healing by the one and the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. That's like a spiritual radar of discernment. Okay, some people are just very clued in and can discern things very acutely. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. We had that this morning. All these are works of one and the same Spirit. You know, that's my belief that if we open ourselves up to the person of the Holy Spirit, He can use us in any one of these gifts on any given occasion. You see, these gifts are slightly different to the original list. The list that I give you in Romans 12 are gifts I believe that some people have a ministry in. But these gifts here, I think, are gifts where if we are stay open and walking in the Spirit, at any moment in the day, God, the Holy Spirit, can use us in any one of those spiritual gifts. There's a wonderful story in the book of Acts guy, a regular, normal Joe Bloggs believer, okay, just like you and me. Okay, his name was called Ananias. And as you know the story, Saul got blinded in this Damascus Road experience, and the Lord spoke to Ananias. And the first thing the Lord did is he gave Ananias a word of knowledge. He said, Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street. When you go to Straight Street, there's a guy you meet in the house there, and his name is called Saul. Ananias says, oh, I've heard of this guy, Saul. Okay, he's not good news. And then the Lord says, and then the next thing the Lord does, not only does he give him a word of knowledge, he then gives him a word of prophecy. He says, I want you to go to Saul, and I want you to prophesy over him. I have commissioned you as my instrument to bring the message of the God, the light of Christ to the Gentile world. Wow. Now, this is just a regular believer, a guy called Ananias. Okay? First, he has a word of knowledge. Then he has a word of prophecy. And then when he gets to Saul's house, guess what? Not only does he have a word of knowledge and prophecy, God gives him a gift of healing. He says, Ananias, what you lay your hands and Paul pray for him that his sight may be restored. And guess what? Healed. His sight restored. Now, that story encourages me because, you know, there would never have been a Paul changing the course of Western history. Sorry, I'm spinning here. Try not to. I'm blaming my tooth, okay? There would never have been a Paul changing the course of history if there wasn't a normal believer called Ananias, just like you and me, just being open and centered and responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That encourages me. When I was in my early 20s, I had a real desire to step out in the spiritual gifts, a real hunger. You know, I wanted to step out into the spiritual gifts. And once at Sunday, I think it was a Sunday night, I was in my home church. And we were just in our time of worship. I sensed that was someone in the church who had a pain in their side. And I sensed that they're wearing a red item and that God wanted to heal them. Okay? So I decided to step out. I don't know if this is from the Lord or not. I just decided to step out. I said to the guy who was leading the service, would you mind if I just share this? And he says, I don't mind, you can share this. I shared it. I said, I didn't say anything about this person wearing anything red. I just said, I just sense that someone has got pain on the side and I'd just like to pray for you. No one responded. No one responded. No one came to the front. Nothing like that happened. Okay. Oh, that's really encouraging, isn't it? You're stepping out, you're trying to do something for God, and there's no response. Anyway, something interesting. At the end of the meeting, someone relayed what I said to a lady who happened to go out of the service just before I got up to speak. And they relayed everything that I had said. And this lady happened to be someone I had known in the church for a number of years. And at the end of the service, she came to the front and she said, Matthew, I heard that you brought a word and whatever and to pray. And yes, yeah, sure. And I said, I've been having this pain in my side. So I prayed for her. Nothing spectacular happened at that moment. But what I will say this, 2 weeks later, she mentioned to someone that I know that actually after that event, she was healed. The pain went. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention something else. She was wearing a red cardigan. Okay? You see, it's very humbling when things like that happen, aren't they? And I believe that God, if we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, God can use us in these ways if we're available to Him. And so we have given gifts of grace to impart and to strengthen in others. You know, Jesus said of the church of Sardis, He commanded them to strengthen what remained and is about to die. I believe that all of us here have a grace zone. I believe all of us here have a sphere of spiritual authority that God has anointed us to step out into and to minister into. It could be in the prophetic. It could be in gifts of healing. It could be, again, to minister to broken lives and people. When you minister in your grace zone, you're ministering in your sweet spot. You're ministering in that place that has a charismatic impact. Because you're imparting a gift of God's grace into someone else's life, and you're bringing encouragement where you're at. So given that we all have, I believe, grace zones, how can we use the gifts that God has given us to strengthen others? Well, the first thing I would say is this. Cultivate a pure desire to do so. Notice what Paul says here in verse 11. He says, I long to see you that I may impart. He had a pure desire to impart what he had into the lives of others. And so should we also have a pure desire. Again, Paul says in one of his letters, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. A great sense of dignity, of value, of worth comes when we give of what God has given us to bless others and to strengthen and help others. So cultivate a pure desire to do so. But Paul's longing to impart reminds me of his words to the church of Corinth when he said to the Corinthians, he said this, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, there's a reason why he says prophecy, because prophecy builds up the church. Okay, tongues is good. Okay, tongues is great. But prophecy is better because it actually edifies the whole church. Now, the word here for desire is literally the word to covet. To covet. Now, we all know that it is wrong to covet for something that is not for us to have. We know that it is wrong to covet someone else's spouse or their possessions or their lifestyle. Covetousness is the mother of all sins. Because when you think about it, people all do all sorts of wrongs to fulfill their covetousness, won't they? They will steal, they'll cheat, they'll even kill to have something that is not for them to have. There's a story of someone who was having a problem with an ant's nest, and so what he did, he got some poison tablets, and he put them in a circle around kind of the entrance to the nest. And of course, the ants were taking some of the poison and taking them down to the nest area. But then he noticed that some of the poison was been stolen, and it was been stolen by some other ants that were not poisonous, because they thought it was food and they were envious that the other ants were getting something that they wanted. And so they ended up taking something that was going to poison them. In the same way, covetousness, okay, try and pronounce that word right, covetousness is, it will poison your soul. So we need to get rid of that completely. But can I say that there is literally one thing in life that you should covet, and those are the things of God. You should covet the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, as Paul says. You know, when I shared that story earlier on, I mentioned about that time, just sharing that word and praying for that person. God worked in that situation, which was really good. But the thing that I noticed about that season in life was that I was covetousness of the spiritual gifts. I really wanted to see them in my life. And if I'm honest, I'm probably not where I used to be in that respect. But can I encourage us all to seek after God? Like a baby craves after pure milk, we have to have a craving of the things of the Spirit in our lives. Recently I was talking to a real man of the Spirit, he said that, and he's seen throughout his life ministry, God work in many miraculous ways, but he just said that we're only as filled as God as really desire to be. And it's so important that we stoke that pure spiritual desire to step out and use the gifts of God's grace in our lives. And that longing also transfers to a practical love for each other. Paul says, I can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. And so that leads us to the next thing that we can do to strengthen the faith of others. Secondly, relate with those in the community of faith. Now, obviously, you can't use your gifts unless you're in community with one another. Is that true? Absolutely. Strengthening encouragement does not happen in isolation. So Paul, when Paul says, I long to see that I may impart to you a spiritual gift to make you strong, that is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith,
he is emphasizing the importance of community. That's why we have life groups. Okay, now, if you're not in a life group, please get involved in a life group. Talk to me, get you plugged in, because you know what? Life groups build relationships, help them get to know each other, and also they provide a safe environment where you can start to use your gifts. Because sometimes, let's be honest, in a larger setting, it's not always practical to use the gifts that God has given us. But in a smaller group setting, it is more practical to do that. And so life groups provide a context of building healthy relationships. One of the things I love about the Apostle Paul is that he would often share his life with his readers. He says in the book of Thessalonians, okay, and I don't know why that's up there. Oh, here we go. I've got that wrong, right? Here we go. He says this. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, he says. Because we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives as well. I still like that. Paul said, he wasn't a professional preacher, Paul. He says, I preached the gospel to you, I shared the gospel, but I also shared with you my life as well. They were doing life with each other. You know, the early church, they met daily, not weekly. Sometimes we think we're being biblical meeting weekly. Actually, no, we're not, okay? To really be biblical, we meet daily. That's why I like the idea of just popping around for a coffee or tea and just say, hello, how are things going? Just, you know, there's something like, of course, we respect each other's space, but there's a deep need in our hearts, and a longing in our hearts for that sense of community. You know, and I was very fortunate to grow up in a stable home. But you know, I realize that there are people in this world, particularly people that we're reaching, who've never had that and have come from broken homes. And that's why I believe that community is more important now in the church than it ever has been. See, the truth is that the impartation of your gift of grace to those around you can only happen in the context of relationships. If there's no friendship, there is no function. Okay, I want you to say that after me, okay? No friendship, no function. Ready for this? 3, 2, 1. No friendship, no function, okay? We've got to have friendship, haven't we, for there to be function. Building an authentic community, especially bridging that generational gap. And as I said, that's why I believe that life groups are part and key of that. We have to be a place where there's an environment to flourish and to use the gifts that we have. But as well as creating that sense of community, we also need to stay under authority and operate in authority. I explained that we all have a grace zone, an area of spiritual authority. The Lord has uniquely gifted and strengthened you so that you can strengthen the faith of others. Paul understood this when he said that I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Paul couldn't impart what he did not have. It's the same for you, same for me. We cannot give to others what we do not have. You know, I love that story of Peter and John going to the place of prayer, Book of Acts, and the man there just begging and asking for silver and gold. And Paul says, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have Peter and John. I don't have silver and gold, okay? I can't give to you what I don't have. But I have got something that I think you might need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk. It tells us, doesn't it, what true riches are, doesn't it? True riches aren't about material possessions. They're about truly the things of the Spirit. And I believe that God wants us to operate in our grace zone, to give what he has imparted into our lives. You may have heard the story of the animal school where there was a curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. Has anyone heard this story? Okay. I'll explain how the story went. This school insisted that all the animals had to work on their weaknesses. Okay. So it came to the duck. Now, the duck was excellent at swimming. Absolutely tanked it, Just be all the other animals, just did an amazing job. And the school said, well, look, you're very good at swimming, but what we need to do, we need to work at your weaknesses. So we need to work at your running, okay? So they got the dog doing lots and lots of running lessons, but the problem was its old web feet started to wear away, and it wasn't very good at running. And by the time it went back into swing, he was brilliant at swimming, but now he was just average. That was not very good, as you could tell. Then they worked on the rabbits. The rabbit had a nervous breakdown because the other animals said that he looked like a rat when he jumped into the water for swimming class. All the hair got matted down. So that didn't work for the rabbit, okay? In the climbing class, the eagle won all the time. Just kept on winning. But the eagle insisted that he get to the top of the tree his own way. But the instructor said, no, 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 you've got to climb like all the other animals. And so the eagle was disciplined for being insubordinate. And then the fish came home from school one day and said, Mom, Dad, I hate school. I hate it. Swimming is great. I just love swimming. Flying is fun if they let me start in the water. But running and climbing, well, I don't have any legs, and I can't breathe out of water. And so the fishers, the parents, made an appointment with the principal and explained, you know, that, hey, can we just change the needs of the curriculum to our young one? And they said, well, you know what? The fish are so far ahead in the swimming that we thought it would be good for the fish to skip the swimming class and do some private tuitioning on running and climbing. Well, you know what? The moral of the story is simply this. Let the fish swim, let the rabbits run, and let the eagles fly. Isn't that true? Problems occur when you try to be something that you're not, that God hasn't anointed you for. And when you serve in your grace zone, you impart something of your grace into the lives of others. I love how Peter puts it. He puts it like this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, I love this phrase, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The gift of grace that you have to impart in the lives of those around you happens when you stay in your grace zone, when you stay in the realm of your spiritual authority, when you function in your sweet spot, when you also obviously respect the culture of the house and come under spiritual authority, and that gift is recognized in you, and you can be released into that. So to strengthen the faith of others, you also need to be prepared to receive as well as give. Paul concludes, he says this, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul didn't just come to encourage, but he also came to be encouraged. I think of what the writer of the book of Proverbs said this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. He understood that encouragement works both ways, where people need to give as well as receive encouragement from each other in the exercise of our gifts. You know, I hope that in the time that I've been here, that I've encouraged you. Okay, I hope that has happened. But can I also say something else? In the time that I've been here, many of you have also encouraged me. There have been times when I went to minister to people, and I actually ended up being ministered to. There have been times when I went to encourage someone and I actually ended up being encouraged. And that's a good, isn't it? Because that's what Paul said. He says, I want us to be mutually encouraged. You know, I think sometimes leadership is a certain function in the life of the church, but it's no more better than anyone else in the church. We all have gifts, don't we? We all have graces that we can give and receive from each other to encourage each other. In the world of biology, there's a principle called symbiosis. Okay? It simply means that two animals, they benefit off each other. So for example, a crocodile goes out for its meal, and then it comes out into the riverside, opens its mouth, and then this bird flies along, and the bird goes inside the crocodile's mouth and eats the food inside the crocodile's mouth and flies off. And the bird is very trusting of the crocodile because it's trusting the crocodile is not going to eat him up, okay? But it's not in the crocodile's interest to eat up the bird because if he does, he's not going to get his mouth cleaned. And when he opens his mouth, no other birds are going to trust him to come and, you know, feed from his mouth. And so both, the bird's getting his food, the crocodile is getting his mouth cleaned. That's a wonderful picture, isn't it, in nature that we see. In the same way, our gifts of grace mutually encourage each other. They bring mutual strength to each other. And so given that we all have gifts of grace to impart into the lives of those around us, let us make a commitment to strengthen each other's faith by cultivating a pure desire to do so, relating with those in community of faith, staying under and operating in your spiritual authority, and being prepared to receive as well as give. You may feel at this season of life that you're lacking in your strength to get through. You'll just feel like that maybe you just want to throw in the towel or just give up. And I want to say this. We all have had moments in our lives where we've wavered, even in our faith. I think of Peter. Jesus said to Peter, you know, that Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants you to waver in your faith. But then Peter said that Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you, Simon. I love that. The devil wants to sift you, Peter. He wants to knock your confidence. He wants you to knock you off guard. But you know what, Peter? I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And Peter, by the way, when you get through this, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, don't we all go through experiences of life that knock us? They just knock our confidence, that almost knock us off track. But I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus is praying for you. He is praying for you. Whatever it is that you are going through, you have an advocate in heaven who is on your side. And he's going to get you through it, whatever it is that you're trying to get through. On that cross, he took the penalty for your sin. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And right now, he is praying for you. Praying that your faith will get through what you have to get through at this moment. And so, we can find strength because Jesus strengthens us. And when we experience the strength that comes from Christ, we can give strength to people around us. And actually, we can operate in our charismata better to help them, empower them, and enable others to get through what they have to get through. But to do so, we have to be connected with Christ. And that means turning from all that we know is wrong, believing in him, getting immersed in water and in the Spirit, and then you can begin the amazing journey of being an encourager in the lives of others. Anyone want to be an encourager? Yes, good.
Thank you for listening to MPC's podcast. If you enjoyed this one, then please do subscribe. You can find out more about our church on the website mpconline.org and at our Facebook page, Mansfield Pentecostal Church.